This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس وما يعقلها إلا العالمون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما، وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله سبحانه وتعالى revealed the Quran and made it to be a guidance, a light, and a blessing and a mercy for mankind. And He revealed it without leaving anything out. وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And we revealed, we sent down to you the book as a clarification for all things. وَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةً وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. And a guidance and a mercy and good tidings for the Muslims. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this Quran, He revealed it to get His message across to us. And He did that through different ways, meaning that He used different ways to get His message across to us in the Quran. And so sometimes we have commandments, clear-cut commandments, do this. Other times we have prohibitions, don't do this. Other times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses stories, and the Quran is filled with stories of the prophets, of the past nations. Other times Allah uses at-targhib wa-tarhib. Targhib is to encourage us to do good deeds, and that is by mentioning the great rewards for those who will do good deeds. Other times at-tarhib, which is to make us fearful of His punishment, or to make us not fall into sin. How? By reminding us of the punishment for those who commit those sins. Other times there are in the Quran gems and wisdoms, if we were to ponder and reflect over the different verses. And in the Quran we have what are known as parables. In the Quran we have what are known as al-amthal. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. Allah tells us about these amthal. Allah says, and these amthal, these parables or similitudes or examples, we present them to the people. وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ But none will understand them except those of knowledge. And this is why some of the Salaf, they would cry if they did not understand a parable that Allah mentions in the Quran. Why? Because what did Allah say here? وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ No one will understand these parables except those who have knowledge. So they would say, I can't consider myself to be a person of knowledge, even though they were scholars. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ And these parables, these examples, these similitudes, we present to the people so that perhaps they will give thought. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ ضَرَبْنَا لِلنَّاسِ فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ Allah says, indeed we have presented to the people in this Quran every kind of parable. For what purpose? So that they may remember. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ Perhaps they will be reminded. And so these parables have been mentioned in the Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we can see, for the purpose of reflection, for the purpose of giving thought, using our intellects that Allah has given to think about what Allah has presented of parables and similitudes. In this introduction on the parables of the Quran, the first thing that we want to address is what is meant by the word مثل. What is meant by the word مثل? And the plural of that, أمثال. And here, I just want to point out that some people, they make a mistake of referring to مثل as مثال. But مثال means something else. مثال means a sample or an example of something. And the plural of that is أمثلة. Whereas what we're talking about here is مثل, the plural of which is أمثال. As we have seen in these ayat, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ ضَرَبْنَا لِلنَّاسِ فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ And the plural, Allah says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا أَمْثَال So the very first question is, what is meant by the word مَثَل? In the English language, if we were to translate مَثَل, we could say it means a parable or a similitude. So what is meant by that? What is a parable or what is a similitude? What is a مثل? In Arabic, a مثل can refer to one of two things, or in the Quran, we have two different kinds of amthal. So the first meaning of methal is a figure of speech which presents a short story, typically with a moral lesson at the end. A figure of speech which presents a short story, typically with a moral lesson given at the end. So you leave with a moral lesson. And we have many examples of this, you know, in not only in the Quran, but even outside of the Quran. In fact, every single culture and every single language has these kinds of parables, where you have a short story which is meant to give you a moral lesson. The famous example we have is the boy who cried wolf. A short story, especially that we tell to our children. What is the moral lesson that we learn from it? Don't lie. In the Quran, Allah gives us short stories with a moral lesson. And they are also referred to as amthal. And so, for example, we have in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah says, وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ. Present to them the parable, the mathal, of two men. This is in Surah Al-Kahf. The two men, one who was rich and the other one who was not. And the rich one, he had two gardens. The story, and so Allah starts by saying, present to them a mathal, an example, and then or a parable. And then Allah gives us the story. And what happened to this man who was arrogant, what happened to his, you know, to his crops and to his farm. And so the moral lesson we learn from it is not to behave arrogantly and not to deny the blessings of Allah. Also, we have Allah says in Surah Yasin, وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. Present to them the parable of the people of the city when the messengers came to them. And so in Surah Yasin, Allah gives us a story of messengers who came to these people, and you know what happened. So these are examples of a parable where you have a short story, and the purpose of it is to teach you a moral lesson. The second kind of parable is not necessarily a story, but rather a statement that conveys a meaning. One statement that conveys a meaning by comparing two things which have some common aspects between them, and usually the thing that is being compared with is something that we are familiar with and can relate to. So this is the second kind of mathal, amthal, where it is not, you know, a long story or a short story, but rather it's only a statement. And the purpose of this statement is to get a message across by comparing what you want, you know, to get across, the message that you want to get across, by comparing that to something that the people are already familiar with. They can relate to it. And so, an example of this, there are many examples of this, once again, whether it be in the Quran or, you know, in our different cultures, human cultures, and in our different languages, we all have these parables. We have many in the Quran, and we have many even in the Sunnah. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he drew a line in the sand, a straight line, and he said that this is the straight path. This is the straight path of Allah. And then he drew lines diverging from that straight line. So you had the straight line that he drew in the sand, and then you had lines diverging here and there from that straight line. And he said, these other lines are the paths of shaitan. So beware. Stick to the path of Allah. So he wanted to get a message across to the companions, and he did it in an easy way by comparing something that they could see in front of their eyes to the message that he wants to get across. Another example, Ibn Qayyim, he gives an example of such a parable. He says the example of good deeds cultivating and growing and increasing is that of a seed that you plant in the ground. It turns into a tree, then it gives fruits. Then you eat its fruits, and then you take the seeds and the fruits and you plant them again. Every time the new tree gives fruits, you pick its fruits and then you plant its seeds. He says the same can be said about the result of sins. And then he says, the wise person will reflect over this parable. A good deed that is accompanied with another deed. So, the message that he wanted to get across is that good deeds, they multiply and they continue. And likewise sins. That the evil result of sins is that the more you involve yourself in sins, they're going to lead to other sins. So this was a parable that he gave by comparing the message that he wanted to get across to something that, you know, every human being can relate to. A seed that you plant, it grows, you take the fruit, you eat it, and then you take the seeds and you plant them, and it continues like that. In the Quran, we have many such parables. We have many such parables in the Quran. And it is these parables that we, insha'Allah ta'ala, will be covering over the course of these classes. So we will not be covering the first kind. The first kind are the short stories that have moral lessons. We will not be covering those, but rather we will be covering this second kind of parable, where a statement is made, where Allah mentions in just one statement, He wants to get a message across to us, and He uses something that we can relate to. He compares it to something that we can relate to. So we won't be covering, for example, that mathal that Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf of the two men. We won't be covering the mathal that Allah mentions of Ashab al-Qaryah in Surah Yasin, but rather we will be covering all the other parables that Allah mentions, where He compares two things that share something common in order to get His message across to us. Now, what is the purpose of parables? Parables, they help people to understand abstract concepts by alluding to shared experiences, to feel as if they are direct observers in these experiences. And so by using carefully selected parables, remote and difficult to understand concepts are made easier to understand and more comprehensible. And so parables are a great teaching tool because they often use, you know, symbolic imagery and metaphors that the audience can easily recognize. They could relate to it. And so you can convey complicated concepts in such a way that they become more relatable and understandable to one's personal life. And on this note, I just want to, you know, mention this this story of a very famous scholar in the past. He was one of the greatest scholars of literature and al-balagha. His name was Al-Jahidh. He was known for his prose, poetry, and known for his extensive knowledge of Arabic literature. Although he was a Mu'tazili scholar, he was from the deviant sect of the Mu'tazila. And so basically, this scholar, Al-Jahidh, he was walking in the market one day, and a woman came to him, and she said, can you accompany me to a goldsmith? And so he said, okay, sure. And so he went with her to this goldsmith, and when they reached him, she told the goldsmith, she said, like the face of this man. Like the face of this man. And she pointed to Al-Jahidh. So Al-Jahidh, he was completely clueless. And he had no idea what was going on. But the woman, she left. And so Al-Jahidh, he turned to the goldsmith and he asked him, you know, what's up? What is she talking about? And so the goldsmith, he said, this woman, she came to me with a ring. And she asked me to engrave an image of Shaytan onto this ring. So I said to her, I've never seen Shaytan. I don't know what he looks like. So she brought you to me and she said, like the face of this man. And Al-Jahidh, he was actually given this title. This is not his real name. He was given this name because of how he looked. He had very large and prominent eyes, which is referred to in Arabic as Al-Juhudh. So because of the Juhudh in his eyes, he was named Al-Jahidh. The point is that parables, they help us to understand things that are otherwise difficult to understand, unless they are compared with something that we can see and understand clearly. Just like this goldsmith. He didn't know what the woman wanted. You know, he doesn't know, you know, what Shaytan looks like, or, you know, what she wants, until, you know, she brought to him an example of what she wants. So this shows us the importance and the significance of parables, and how parables make clear things that are otherwise left unclear. Now, moving on to the usage of parables in the Quran. The usage of parables in the Quran. We've already mentioned that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used two kinds of parables. If we were to divide parables into two different meanings. The parable that is actually a short story, which by the end of it you derive a moral lesson, and on the other hand, a parable which is only a statement where two things are compared. Besides that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents all kinds of parables in the Quran on all kinds of different subject matters. However, what we have to understand is that the parables of the Quran are unlike any other parable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He revealed in the Quran is His word, and it is unmatched. We cannot compare the words of Allah to anything else. Whereas our speech is comparable. And that's why parables are generally shared among us as human beings. And so one parable that may have been used in a particular culture, that same parable, you can find it in a different culture with different words. So parables among us are many, and they can be compared, except the parables of the Quran. And so the parables of the Quran are the most unmatched. They are not derived from anything. So our parables, you could perhaps trace them to an origin. You know, perhaps you have a parable in the English language that was taken from a different culture, from a different language, and translated into English. Or you could trace it to a particular individual. The parables of the Quran are not derived from anyone or from anywhere, but rather they are initiated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. They are unmatched. The parables of the Quran are unlike any other parables. Just like everything in the Quran cannot be compared to anything of our human speech. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used, or He made these parables in the Quran to be a challenge to the Arabs of that time. Because those Arabs, they used to compete with one another to produce the best parables. Just like they used to compete with one another to produce the best poetry, likewise they used to compete with one another to produce the best parables. And so the parables that Allah mentioned in the Quran were a challenge to the Arabs. And they are therefore at the highest level of eloquence, of balagha. And so these parables come under Allah's challenge, that unmet challenge. When Allah said, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ, bring, the challenge was to bring a surah like the Quran. And so the parables come under this category of the challenge of the Quran to bring a parable like the parables of the Quran in their eloquence. This is what is meant here. The challenge of the Quran is not, you know, bring something similar to it in its words or in its meaning, but rather the challenge is beyond that. And only someone who understands the Arabic language can appreciate this challenge of the Quran. That since the day that the Quran was revealed and completed, since the day its revelation was completed until today, no one has been able to bring any words that could challenge the level of eloquence of the Quran. Also, it should be understood here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of designing parables for us in order to get his message across to us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high or above being in need of anything. But out of his mercy towards us, he chose to present such parables to make it easy for us to understand his message and have that message to sink in. And so it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you know, I have presented to you the truth and have made it crystal clear, and I have refuted falsehood and destroyed it. قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَزَّهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنُّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. The truth has arrived and falsehood has perished. Falsehood is bound to perish. So as if Allah is saying, I have presented to you the truth, made it crystal clear to you, I have refuted falsehood, destroyed it, and I have brought you close to your path to guidance. So none of you can now come on the day of judgment. None of you can come now on the day of judgment with an excuse to say that, oh Allah, the truth was unclear. It was ambiguous. The words that you used were a mystery that could only be unscrambled by someone who is a genius. No. Allah revealed the Quran and made it crystal clear. كتاب مبين بلسان عربي مبين. It is clear, and everything in the Quran was made crystal clear. On top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us these parables. What did we mention in the beginning, earlier on, of the purpose of parables? That the purpose of parables is to make something clear that otherwise would be left unclear. Even though, if we were to think about it, whatever Allah has mentioned in the Quran was already clear. If you were to take out the parables for a second and just look at the Quran without these parables, the message is clear. And then if you add these parables, it makes the message even more clear. It makes the message even more crystal clear than ever before. And so this is why it is the mercy of Allah that He revealed this Quran and made it clear to us. And on top of that, He added these parables. It is only due to His mercy towards us, and not because He is in need of presenting parables. Unlike we human beings, sometimes if we want to get a message across, we have to resort to such parables to explain a difficult concept. And I'm sure all of you are familiar with this, especially if you're a student and you have a difficult subject that you're studying, let's say math or science or whatever it be, and on top of that you have a difficult teacher. Everything goes by you. You don't understand a single thing. The concepts are difficult to understand. But if you have a friend who knows how to explain things clearly and add a few examples, then it becomes clearer. Or if you are blessed with a teacher who knows how to use examples, then it becomes, those difficult concepts become clear. That teacher or that friend had to resort to using parables. He had no other choice. Whereas with regards to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of doing that. But rather He did that for our own good and out of His mercy towards us. Now, the Quran consists of a variety of parables, comparing different things for a variety of different objectives. And so sometimes the purpose or the objective of the parable is to clarify a point, such as the fact that the deeds of the kuffar will never be accepted. So in order to clarify that point, Allah has given us more than one parable concerning that, as we will come across. Or Allah presents a parable to convince you of the truth of something. For example, Allah has presented more than one parable concerning life after death. So to get that message across, to get it across to us, Allah has used more than one parable to convince us of the truth of life after death. And Allah has given us even a parable that is meant as a short story in Surah Al-Baqarah, the story of the man who came across a hamlet, a village, and he said, the people were all dead. He said, how can Allah cause these people to be resurrected? And so Allah made him to die and then raise him up. So that story that Allah mentioned is an example of the first kind of parable that we mentioned, where you have a short story and a moral lesson is meant behind that short story. So here Allah uses that to convince us of the truth of life after death. Also, Allah uses parables to encourage us to do something good, to push us, to drive us to do good deeds. For example, to give in sadaqah, as we will come across the parable that Allah gives us concerning our sadaqah and how it is multiplied. Also, Allah uses parables to warn us of something haram or something evil. For example, not acting according to the knowledge that you have been given. Allah gives us more than one parable concerning that. Also, al-ghiba. We have the example that Allah gives us in Surah Al-Hujurat. Also, Allah presents parables for the purpose of clarifying the difference between two opposites, to either prove the truth of one and the falsehood of the other, or to help us to adhere to one and to stay away from the other. And once again, there are many examples of this. Allah presents parables comparing iman to kufr. In one parable, Allah mentions iman and kufr. Also, tawheed and shirk. And the muwahid, the person of tawheed, and the mushrik. So these are some of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents parables, or some of the objectives behind some of the parables of the Quran. Now, in the Quran, when it comes to the second kind of parables, as we said, we are only going to be focusing on the parables that are statements comparing two things. We're not going to be covering the parables that are short stories that are meant to give us a moral lesson. We're only going to be covering the parables that are meant as statements comparing two things. And so these kinds of parables in the Quran are two kinds. These kinds of parables in the Quran are two kinds. The first are the explicit kind of parables. And they are where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly states that He is presenting to us a parable, a mathal. And these are many in the Quran. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةً. Do you not see how Allah presents a mathal, a parable, making a good word to be like a good tree? يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. In Surah Al-Hajj, Allah gives us the parable of the fly. Allah starts by saying, O mankind, a mathal, a parable has been presented. So pay attention. So these are examples of explicit amthal, parables. Allah mentions that He is presenting a mathal. So there's no doubt that this is a parable. The second kind are the inexplicit parables, or the hidden or the subtle kind of parables, where the word methel, the word parable, is not mentioned. Methel, parable, is not mentioned, but rather you can understand that this is a parable through deliberation and contemplation, by reflecting over that verse. And this is something that the scholars of Islam have done. They have mentioned that these are parables, even though Allah does not explicitly state that He is presenting a parable. And so we will be covering both of these two kinds, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. An example of the second kind is the example that we mentioned of backbiting in Surah Al-Hujurat. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that backbiting is like eating the dead flesh of your brother. And so here Allah compares two things to have something common among them to get His message across. Allah did not say that He is presenting a parable, or He did not say that this is a methel, but we understand from the context and from the meaning that this is in fact a parable. And also in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the example, or compares the foundation of the believer and how his foundation is built upon taqwa from Allah, as compared to the foundation of the munafiq, the hypocrite, and how his foundation is like a building on the edge of a cliff that is about to collapse. أَفَمَنْ أَسَّسَ بُنْيَانَهُ عَلَى تَقْوَى مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانِ خَيْرٌ أَمَّنْ أَسَّسَ بُنْيَانَهُ عَلَى شَفَى جُرُفٍ هَارٍ فَانْهَارَ بِهِ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ. So the scholars say this is actually a parable. And so these are the two kinds of parables in the Quran. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. We're going to cover both of these kinds in over the course of these lessons. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Now, Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, he has compiled the parables of the Quran. He has compiled the parables of the Quran in one of his books, a very extensive book called A'lam al-Muwaqqi'een 'an Rabb al-'Alamin. This is a book which is actually a kind of guide for scholars to be. scholars who, you know, want to go on to become muftis. And so in this book, he listed over 43 different parables in the Quran. And he did this when he was explaining the letter of Umar radiallahu an, that he wrote to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu an, in which he explained to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari how to pass a hukum or a judgment. And so Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was one of his governors. So Umar radiallahu an, he wrote a letter to him telling him how to pass judgment. And in this letter he said, use your understanding. Please do use your understanding when you are unsure about a matter that is not found in the Book of Allah or in the Sunnah of His Prophet. Then judge matters by analogy with others. And this is referring to Al-Qiyas. So he's telling him, if you don't find something in the Quran or in the Sunnah, then use Qiyas, which is a kind of analogy, where you have something new, you don't know what the ruling of it is, look for something similar to it in the Quran or in the Sunnah. And then he said, and acquire a good knowledge of amthal. Acquire a good knowledge of amthal, which are basically like and similar cases, as we mentioned. Then go with what you see as being more beloved to Allah and that which resembles the truth the most. The point is, Ibn Qayyim, when he came to this part of the letter of Umar, and in it Amthal is mentioned, so then he started to mention all of the Amthal in the Quran. He mentioned approximately 43. And then after mentioning all of these parables in the Quran, he then moved on to mentioning the parables in the Sunnah, and how the Prophet ﷺ mentioned different kinds of parables. And he listed about almost 40 or so different parables from the Sunnah. So what we will be doing bi-idhnillahi ta'ala is that we are going to be taking the same list that was compiled by Ibn Qayyim, and we will be using these parables that he has mentioned. And he has also explained briefly, discussed some of these parables and explained a few of them and mentioned some of the secrets and the wisdoms behind some of these parables. So we will be using that bi-idhnillahi ta'ala over the course of these lessons. Finally, in conclusion, I just wanted to mention something here, and this is because Amthal or Methal is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, but no parable was mentioned. A Methal was mentioned, or Allah mentions the example of the mosquito. He mentions the parable, or he mentions that there is a mosquito, and mistakenly, some people think that we have the parable of a mosquito in the Quran, but we don't. We have the parable of the fly in the Quran. We have the parable of the spider in the Quran, Al-Ankabut. And we have other parables, but we don't really have the parable of a mosquito. So where does this misconception come from? Basically, the context of it is as follows. The enemies of Islam, as is their habit, whether in the past or the present, they will always try to refute the authenticity of the Quran. So they'll try to find ways of saying that, you know, this Quran is not from Allah. It's not really the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so 1400 years ago, when Allah revealed the Quran, the enemies of Islam, they said that there are parables in the Quran that are not befitting for Allah to mention. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention something so insignificant and make a parable out of it? And the examples of that is what we mentioned: the fly and the spider. Allah mentioned, as we will come across these parables, Allah mentioned these as parables. And so these were the munafiqoon, the hypocrites. They tried to cause doubts in the hearts of the believers concerning the Quran. And so Allah refutes them. And so in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah reveals, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي أَنْ يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. Allah is not ashamed to present a mathal, a parable, that of a mosquito or what is even smaller than it. So this is now a reply to these munafiqoon who said, you know, it is not befitting for Allah, being as great as He is, to mention something so insignificant and make a parable out of it. And so Allah refutes them by saying, Allah is not ashamed to present the parable of a mosquito or something that is even smaller than it. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. So as for the believers, those who believe, they know that this is the truth from their Lord. But as for those who disbelieve, they say, what did Allah intend by this as an example? And so the entire purpose of the parable was missed by the enemies of Islam. And so they focused on the object that was used to give the example instead of the ultimate goal and the ultimate benefit of the parable. And that is why Allah concludes the ayah by saying, يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. That through this one parable, Allah causes many to go astray. يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Allah causes many to go astray by this one parable. And He causes many to also be guided by it. وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. And He does not mislead anyone. He does not cause anyone to go astray except those who are fasiqoon, the defiantly disobedient. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us knowledge of the parables in the Quran, to grant us knowledge of the Quran in general. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us benefit from this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a source of guidance and a source of inspiration so that we adhere to His straight path and do not deviate. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.